Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Alex Alcazaz, and it is my honor and my privilege to dedicate this episode to the special accomplishment and the blessings that Paul Heyman is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And yes, of course, I had to start by doing the traditional Paul Heyman ladies and gentlemen intro because Paul Heyman has made it so unique. Here we go. This, of course, is Ringside Chaos, the pro wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. Quite frankly, the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world today. Here we go. Is it a coincidence that because WrestleMania is in Philadelphia that Paul Heyman was the first official announced for the Hall of Fame? Oh no. It has to be this way. It does. Now I should point out this is actually the first time that Triple H is actually picking the inductees this year. Vince McMahon does not have a hand in it. In fact, as we know at this point, Vince McMahon has nothing in hand when it comes to the WWE now. It just has to be the fact that Paul Heyman is the first announcement. Because again, this is taking place in Philadelphia. You take the name Paul Heyman, you put it in the same sentence as Philadelphia. What's the one thing that's going to come to mind immediately? ECW. ECW, an extreme, no pun intended, an extreme pivotal period in the career of Paul Heyman, the creator of ECW, creative genius. You know, there's so many ways to basically describe Paul Heyman, especially from doing his time with ECW, you know, the creative mad scientist genius. Man. Paul Heyman deserves this. He really does. And I can't stress that enough. Paul Heyman is one of the most brilliant minds and one of the most prominent figures in the wrestling business. His status is far beyond legend, really. I mean, a master with booking, a master with having say-sos in wrestling. Of course, the promos on the mic. Paul Heyman has just about done everything. Everything there is to do in wrestling. And believe it or not, he has actually competed in matches. You know, I always say this. Paul Heyman is one of the few that has basically inspired me to work on my speaking skills as a podcaster. In my podcast, you've seen me cut promos. And Paul Heyman is one of the reasons why I've been able to actually cut promos. And quite frankly, he's the reason why I've had the courage to do so. You know, and going back to the prospect that this is taking place in Philadelphia, and I say this with conviction, there's no better place for Paul Heyman to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame than the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I mean, again, ECW, but, you know, and I should say this. This is not the first time that Paul Heyman's been offered a spot into the WWE Hall of Fame. He's actually turned it down before, and more than once too, because in his mind, he had the mentality and the idea to the fact that he was still active in the business, and that he felt that it's not the right time, and that he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame when his career is over. But let me say this. I honestly believe that Paul Heyman's career is far from over. In fact, Paul Heyman has been in such a great program with the Tribal Chief as the Tribal Chief's wise man and the special counsel, You know, Paul Heyman's just been doing absolutely fantastic as he's always been. But I gotta tell you, the story of the bloodline with Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman's just, he's been killing it. And it doesn't surprise me because Paul Heyman is good at what he does. I mean, no. I can't even believe I just said that. Paul Heyman is not good at what he does. He is amazing at what he does. He is God tier at what he does. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. To say that he's just good at what he does, it's not true. He's not just good. He's not just great. He is God tier. God tier on the mic. He's been God tier in backstage stuff, you know, involving wrestling and booking, creative, what and whatever. Everything Paul Heyman has done is God tier. Even when he was doing commentary with Jim Ross in the early 2000s, when he was general manager of SmackDown, when he was the main writer and the booker for SmackDown, I believe from 2002 to 2005. Dude, I'll tell you, during that time, SmackDown, when he was in charge of the booking and the writing for SmackDown, SmackDown was better than Raw. I may be the biggest idiot in the world for saying that, but I think it's true. And not just saying that because I'm a Paul Heyman guy, but because Paul Heyman was able to put out great wrestling, great rivalries, great segments. He made SmackDown extremely prominent. Like I said, you know, Paul Heyman, a creative genius, math scientist, Steven Spielberg-like, he knows what he's doing. He has known what he's been doing. Paul Heyman was born and raised in the world of pro wrestling. He was born and raised in the pro wrestling business. You know, as he said in his DVD, I believe it's called Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman, which is a great DVD. I strongly recommend that you watch it if you haven't. Excuse me. Kind of lost my train of thought a little bit. I mean, we learned so much about the guy, so, you know. You know, and he says the story that, you know, one night he was changing the channels on the television, then he came across Vince McMahon, a young Vince McMahon, who was an announcer at the time, interviewing then WWF champion, superstar Billy Graham. And yes, I did say WWWF because back then there were three W's. That's when Vince Sr. was in charge. So Paul Heyman credits that particular moment to where he decided he wanted to make a living in the world of pro wrestling. So again, I'm not going to go through detail by detail everything from his Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman DVD, but I really recommend that you watch it. It's great. You learn a lot from Paul Heyman. You really do. And I'll never forget, you know, he started his own wrestling newsletter. When I love how he says, like, he took his bar mitzvah money, invested into a business. I love that. So, you know, he started taking photographs, you know, publishing a newsletter, and then met Vince McMahon Sr., and then got a press pass to covering the pro wrestling shows, taking pictures and whatnot. Flew to the Carolinas one time to cover a Jim Crockett Promotions taping, and then snuck into that production meeting, and then told us, you know, was learning from Dusty Rhodes. I mean, Paul Heyman was taking those chances at such a young age that sometimes I feel like I wish I had done that. I wish I had the Heyman hustle when I was 14 years old. But unfortunately, during that time, I was just a no-good, lazy teenager that really didn't know what he wanted to do with his life. Very unfortunate. But I gotta tell you. Excuse me. Excuse me. I gotta tell you, Paul Heyman's just, he's a mentor and a teacher to everybody. And I do mean that. And the fact that, you know, I really refuse to believe that he's done. I mean, there's a very interesting quote that he said when he broke his silence. Now, the first one goes, and I quote, "It's taken me all these decades to figure this business out and the art of presentation to an audience. So while I hate to use the old cliche of, you ain't seen nothing yet, and I'm just getting started. You ain't seen nothing yet, and I'm just getting started. I don't want a lifetime achievement award when I'm not achieving things," unquote. So I think, you know, because everything that he's done, and when he gets praised for it, he kind of basically says, well, I've still, you know, we haven't seen nothing yet. So I feel like Paul Heyman has always wanted to achieve things time and time again. I mean, when you achieve one thing, You just want to keep going. I mean, I have that mentality. When you accomplish something big, you are so proud and so motivated that you just want to keep going, because it's not that it's the best thing that you can do. It's quite frankly the only thing that you can do. You just want to take it one step further. That's what I've been doing with my career as a writer and as a podcaster. So, and he also even further elaborates that he still believes he's got a lot of other work that he wants to do in this industry. He even mentions that he wants to be involved in the first main event of WrestleMania that takes place in Havana, Cuba. Or even mentions that if it takes place on the moon or on Mars when Elon Musk colonizes it. So he basically said he believes that those things are going to happen in the future, and he really desperately wants to be a part of it. So you see, after all these years, all these decades in the wrestling business, Paul Heyman is as driven, as motivated as he's ever been. You know, when you love what you do so much, and when you love the business that you've been in for so long, you don't want to stop. You can't stop, really. Like, sometimes I really feel like retirement may not be for everybody, but eventually everybody's got to retire at some point, right? So, excuse me. So I got to tell you, I don't even know how much longer Paul Heyman's going to be in this business. Now, again, from what I understand, he doesn't just have the on-screen role as the wise man and the special counsel for the tribal chief as part of the Bloodline story. I really do believe he's got a role backstage as well. At least he did several years ago. I think they made the changes, but still, Paul Heyman's got a large influence, and rightfully so. You know, and Paul Heyman, you know, as manager, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, Paul Heyman being with the Bloodline, I mean, let's not forget, way back then, I believe Paul Heyman actually was the manager for the Head Shrinkers as well, so. And I loved, you know, and that story too, in his DVD, how one time when he was, like, you know, working at Studio 54 in New York, how he was, like, the main promoter and producer, whatever. How he was also basically, you know, starting, you know, promoting the wrestling debut of Bam Bam Bigelow. So, you know, I'll never forget how he basically, how people were basically trying to encourage him, you know, you should do, because, you know, I think what he had learned from three of the most biggest heel managers of all time back when he was a teenager. Like, he learned from Captain Lou Albano, Freddie Blassie, and the Grand Wizard, and he spent so much time with them, so people would start to tell him, well, you should do what those guys used to do. And Paul Heyman explained that he had never envisioned himself doing that. And I totally understand, because let me be honest with you. When I was 23, 24 years old, I never, and I mean never, envisioned myself being a podcaster. I envisioned myself working for the major media conglomerates. But I decided I want to do things my way. Like Paul Heyman with ECW, I want to have my own company. I want to have my own media production firm. That's why I have the Bear of Texas podcast. And I have three shows. NTNet FC, Cowboys Talk, and this show, Ringside Chaos. Three segments of the Bear of Texas podcast. So I'm doing things my way. I'm taking chances. I'm taking risks. I feel like I'm doing something much similar to what Paul Heyman did. So you can tell I have learned a lot from Paul Heyman. And I'm trying to take what I learned from him and try to make it into my own success. So, but going back to where how, you know, excuse me, kind of getting a little emotional right now, because again, Paul Heyman's one of my heroes, and how he's been such an influence, you know, and I really want Paul Heyman to know that he's been such an influence and a mentor and a teacher to me. But when he basically starts getting nudged, he finally agrees he'll be a manager, but I love how he says it in his DVD. He says, I'll do it, but I'm going to call myself Paul Lee Dangerously. And I think, you know, excuse me. You know, I think there was a time in the 80s when Michael Keaton had a movie. I think it was called Johnny Dangerously. And I think Paul Heyman kind of took the name because he actually had a strong resemblance to Michael Keaton. So he decided to be known as Paul E. Dangerously. And honestly, it's a great name. It really was. So he was that name in WCW and all these independents before that. And of course, his character, you know, he was like, you know, like a New York businessman. You know, he carried that big old school cell phone. I mean, Paul Heyman's just always been a unique and colorful character, you know, since the freaking beginning. So I just, oh boy. I mean, his promo skills, the as a everything as a manager. I mean, everything he's done. Oh boy. So, and I gotta say, you know, during the time in ECW, man, so many great things, you know. And then, of course, you know, after the closing of ECW, he was in WWE, and, you know, I think, you know, originally he was also, you know, on the commentator role. And then, of course, there was that, that major invasion angle in 2001. And then after that, Jerry Lawler came back to the company, and then basically Paul Heyman was no longer in commentary, but he was still with the company. I think basically they kind of did that thing when Vince McMahon fired Paul Heyman. It was just to write him off of television because after that, he basically became the lead writer for SmackDown, as I said. So he was that from, I believe, 2002 to 2004. So, and you know, again, during that time, SmackDown was a whole lot better. So, man. You know, he even confirmed in his WWE documentary DVD, "Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman." He even mentioned that SmackDown was actually beating Raw in the ratings. So that's just something right there. Again, SmackDown was the better show. I mean, not only in ratings, but the merchandise, the attendance. You know, and this was during a time when Vince McMahon wanted fierce competition between the two brands. And when I say fierce competition, you know what I'm talking about. Ruthless aggression. I, Vincent K. McMahon, want ruthless aggression. And I'm pretty sure my Mr. McMahon impersonation was awful, but he did in fact want ruthless aggression. Because I'm Vince McMahon, and I want competition in my company. Anyway, going back to that. So, man, you know, when ECW came back in 2005, you know, when they had the ECW one-night stands in 2005 and 2006, man. You know, when ECW basically became part of the WWE programming, you know, from 2006 to about 2009, I mean, it's been so overly critical. But you know, I think in 2005, Paul Heyman was actually fired from the company. Now, Paul Heyman's such a great storyteller. There's so many stories out there on YouTube. Excuse me, the hiccups are kicking in. Paul Heyman actually told a story of how he was fired in 2005 because of, you know, there's a story out there that he was caught listening in on phone calls, you know, back then, because he mentioned that back then. The conference calls that they had with Vince were brutal, so because, you know, like that, so they would have to review the shows and everything. So he ended up, and during that time, he was actually managing Heidenreich and Heidenreich's rivalry with The Undertaker. So basically, I think, you know, but it was far beyond that as well. So he was far from that, but then he was actually brought back eventually because of they were doing the whole ECW one night stand thing. So, you know, of course, if you're going to do this, if you're going to bring back, like, this whole ECW thing on WWE programming, you got to have Paul Heyman. So they did, in fact, bring Paul Heyman back. And then, I think he left again in 2006, I believe, because there was, like, so many creative disagreements, you know, behind the scenes and backstage. So, you know, because, you know, I'm telling you, Paul Heyman, you know, see, Paul Heyman has never been one afraid to speak his mind. If he sees something that he disagrees with and he knows it's going to be bad, Paul Heyman is very vocal about it. I mean, Paul Heyman has guts. So, Paul Heyman's always been about making the show the best show ever. Every night, he always wants to make the show better than the night before, so. So, I believe it was in December 2006. I think it was after the December to Dismember show that even though he was under contract, he actually legitimately quit the company. I think because of so many disagreements, I think it was because that Elimination Chamber when Bobby Lashley became ECW champion. See, I'm sure, no disrespect to Bobby Lashley in Paul Heyman's case, Paul Heyman felt that CM Punk should have won the Elimination Chamber. And unfortunately, CM Punk, ironically, was the first one eliminated in that Elimination Chamber match. So, you know, because, you know, CM Punk was still kind of basically up and rising in WWE at that point. I mean, he had been in the company, I believe, since like 2005, because he had previously been with Ring of Honor. And Paul Heyman was so greatly invested in CM Punk that he really wanted to skyrocket CM Punk's career. And I felt it was the perfect opportunity. So, Paul Heyman felt that CM Punk should have been the one to win. Now Vince McMahon wanted Bobby Lashley to win. Now again, no disrespect to Bobby Lashley, I'm not upset that Bobby Lashley won. I think Bobby Lashley was a decent ECW champion, but I think probably should have became WWE champion in 2007 against John Cena, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But I think it was because of that. There was that time when Bobby Lashley was feuding with Mr. McMahon with the ECW title. When I believe the night that Bobby Lashley actually won the title back, he injured his shoulder. So I think I believe that's probably one reason why he didn't win the championship from John Cena. But so from what I understand, again, he had quit. But from the research, there was so many disagreements backstage, and I think really there was honestly some tension again. So again, it surrounds the December to Dismember thing. So. And Heyman, basically, there was a serious argument over the Elimination Chamber, because again, he wanted CM Punk to win it, and Big Show, who was the reigning ECW champion, actually was in full agreement. I mean, Big Show even went as far as to suggest that he should tap out to CM Punk, that CM Punk should put him in the Anaconda Vice, and Big Show should submit to it. Big Show wanted to put CM Punk over. So, again, ironically, CM Punk ended up being eliminated first, and after that, man, I think they offered him, he was offered a position to go to writing television for WWE's developmental shows, and Paul Heyman said, oh, F that, I'm sorry, but Paul Heyman, because of him expressing his disagreements and you trying to offer him a position to where he goes to writing television for developmental territories. I'm sorry, but that's an insult. No, Paul Heyman did the right thing by quitting, and he had been gone for 6 years. He returned in 2012, and from what we told is originally at first he was not interested in returning, but Brock Lesnar convinced him to. I think it was Brock Lesnar. Right? Well, at least Brock Lesnar was at least one of the people to. to convince him, so. And originally, he was only supposed to be here for a little bit, but then I think, because the whole thing with the whole thing with CM Punk, him managing CM Punk and everything like that, so. From what I understand, he was really supposed to be back for a year, but he ended up staying because Paul Heyman ended up enjoying working with WWE again, and I think the relationship had been mended and everything, so. So during that time, managing CM Punk, managed a number of guys, and, of course, Brock Lesnar ended The Undertaker's streak. I'll never forget that night in Chicago shortly after CM Punk legitimately left the company. At a Raw show in Chicago, they play CM Punk's music. Who comes out? Paul Heyman. Man. Oh, so. But at the same time, for so long, I'll never forget when Heyman turned on CM Punk, man, in 2013. That was great. I mean, from that time, so yeah, he had been with Brock Lesnar, for a very, very long time, and then starting in 2020 when he started, the program with Roman Reigns, and then he was the Wise Man, the Special Counsel, so. And during that time, he was also actually in creative direction as well, so. Man. Man. So is there everything that he's done in a company, up until this point, has just been, so absolutely fantastic. So I'm kind of glad I kind of went through a little bit of, through the timeline. I mean, from on-screen manager to commentary, to the general manager of SmackDown, and then, I'll never forget, because I actually did an episode about this particular stunt on this program, about the time when Paul Heyman was forced to eat a bar of soap. that was just so funny. But man, Sam, Paul Heyman just the thing like that. So Paul Heyman has done some has made everybody laugh. He's made everybody smile. He's made people angry, with the fans as well. So, Paul Heyman is just, there's just so many ways to describe the guy. Man. Matt, so I think in that documentary, if several people, you know, use a particular words, I mean, from friend to family, genius, you know, whatever. I mean, some people will say, you know, aggressive, pushy, manipulative. I mean, hey, Paul Heyman has just done what it takes. Paul Heyman has just done what it takes. Sometimes you have to rub people the wrong way in order to get things done. And Paul Heyman's understood that for a very, very long time. So, and yeah, Paul Heyman, they say he's pushing me. Because again, he heavily pushed for CM Punk to win the Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, of course he's pushing, because Paul Heyman knew that CM Punk winning the title would be something huge. Now, CM Punk did, in fact, eventually win the ECW title, but I think that was not until 2008 or, like, yeah, something like that. But, you know, so I honestly believe, yeah. So Paul Heyman has been wanting to do good things. And, you know, of course, he had disagreements with Vince. You know, of course, you're going to have disagreements. But, you know, Paul Heyman's done everything. And I really don't think Paul Heyman's finished. Nowhere near close. But, you know, WWE's in Philadelphia, the birthplace of his creation, ECW. It's the perfect place. It's the perfect time, really. So, my congratulations to Paul Heyman. Well deserved. I can't wait to see what he does moving forward. Now, before actually I close out the show, I've actually been asking myself, well, who's the guy that should induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame? Well, several names come to mind. Number one, Tommy Dreamer actually comes to mind. The Dudleys. Well, specifically Bully Ray, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Dudleys did in fact induct somebody before. I believe it was Jacqueline back in 2016. Other than that, yeah, but some people say it can't be Tommy Dreamer, because Tommy Dreamer, I believe, is the head of creative, I believe, with TNA Wrestling. But then again, Conan inducted Rey Mysterio last year, so shouldn't be a problem. It can't hurt to have Tommy Dreamer induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame. But there's other names that come to mind. But aside from the Dudleys and Tommy Dreamer, I mean, Raven maybe? You know, Raven, the wrestler? Maybe, well, we'll say Taz, but Taz is with ECW. ECW, he's with AEW. But so many names come to mind, so. But if I were to take a wild guess, really, or if it was up to me, I would say that Tommy Dreamer would have to be the guy to induct Paul Heyman. I mean, no disrespect to Bully Ray or to D-Von, or no disrespect to anybody, but my gut feeling just tells me that it's got to be Tommy Dreamer. So, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, you know, it was really interesting that Paul Heyman inducted Goldberg into the Hall of Fame back in 2018. So, you never know who's going to induct who. So, I'm sure that we'll find out in the foreseeable future. So, anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much once again for tuning in. A reminder that Ringside Chaos is available anywhere you get your podcast. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, because I want to be sure that you won't be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you very much. Have a good one, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.